No, I like the dog thing. No, that's not why I stopped. With the no, I'm down with the dogs. I like them.
Thank you. I don't know. Welcome. Burrows into dogs. Hi.
Dank Lucas, not averse to dogs, has joined us. The first person to ride the train.
This
on
apparently
the train for the entire year that I've done this. The first person to ride the train.
This apparently is true. I have to take Grant's word for it. But
it
I did
true,
ride the train here. Yeah.
I would not. I have not picked anybody up at the train station. Nor has anyone.
Wrong.
Tara riding the train. You're absolutely right. I totally am lying. You're the second person. Ah, soft felt.
Oh, well.
Pastel felt.
I still feel good about it. I rode the train.
That is very true. You're
kudos to Tara.
Right. Thank you to Lucinda,
I don't
my
know
beautiful
Tara,
wife,
but...
for...
yeah. Thank you, Lucinda.
For correcting me.
That's why I'm here.
Shame on me. Shame on me for getting that. Shame on me for making a big deal about it with you.
I picked her up at the train
station. Dan Lucas was going to be the very first one because... he got delayed by the beloved train system the last time we were going to be.
You were just
show.
Buttering me up so I would play good.
Yes. And I was getting you prepared.
So I'd play gooder.
Well, welcome.
Now it's over, so. Yeah.
Yes, it's
thank
all
you.
Done.
Thank you.
You've seen Lancaster and all its beauty.
Some of it.
Some of it, a little bit. The drive around and then our house.
Your house is lovely.
Thank you.
And your dogs and everything. Yeah.
They're like spooning each other in a weird dog centipede thing. Welcome. Solo trumpet. That's the second time it's happened here. I feel it's not the second time you've done it. You've definitely probably done it a lot.
I've done it. I don't do a lot of solo gigs.
What is your feeling of a solo set versus an ensemble set? Like, how do you approach it? What are your goals for it? How do you find it in the end result?
Playing solo, I don't know. I guess I don't see it that much differently than playing, at least if you're playing in an improvising unit, because you're still having to, I guess if you're playing solo, it's not just you, you're having to take on multiple roles in a way, having to kind of take all sides of yourself into account and just let them talk to each other. I do know musicians who are against solo playing because they feel that it takes away the communal aspect of improvising. And I absolutely see their point.
Right.
I just see solo playing as just one more aspect of improvisation. It's just another arena that,
right.
You know, I mean, solo playing is not anything else. And nothing else is solo playing. So, you know, whether or not it actually can fall under the criterion of improvisation based on the need or the desire for interaction with other beings is, you know, that's up to the polemicists.
I mean, but I feel like you're interacting with yourself in terms of what you played before.
Yeah,
and
but also interacting with the environment.
Right.
You know, like Lucinda and I were just talking about, you know, how the dogs are kind of running through the house and life is going on outside. And I was just saying, I love that. I love being able to make a recording or, you know, play in a solo environment especially where there really isn't an audience per se. We're just
right.
here hanging out in your house and I get to interact with the immediate environment,
your
community. We can, you know, the sounds that we can hear coming in from outside, the buzz from the yard, you know, especially in summertime, there's always that sort of,
right.
It's not necessarily an audible thing. It's just, you know, what was that Joni Mitchell album title? The Hissing of Summer Lawns? Something
like
that.
You can see that.
Yeah.
Sprinklers and sun.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I don't really see a lawn out there. There's a little bit of a lawn. The hissing of the summer grapevine.
Perhaps the summer grapevine.
That's what solo playing is about for me today. Okay. Interacting with the hissing of the summer grapevine.
And you, you've also found numerous solo outings along the train tracks and, you know, and all the different places where you go out through LA. I mean, I've seen it through your Facebook practices or, you know, solo playing in different environments.
Yeah, those are practice photos. Most of the time when I'm out there in the park practicing, I'm just playing long tones. Sometimes I'll break into an improvisation when I'm doing that. Most days, well, on weekends.
That must be really cheerful for people coming through and walking. I feel like they would enjoy hearing those sounds in nature.
They,
you know,
can't hear me
to,
for the most part, because I have a new little practice mute that is my best friend. That's actually how I got into practicing in the park, was that when I moved from Highland Park to Pasadena recently, and I had a bungalow that I lived in for 17 years, and I had very noisy neighbors, and so the noise was reciprocal. I mean,
payback.
I tried to be a good neighbor, but if I happened to need to play a little horn in my house, nobody could really say anything about it. Now I live in a place that's not quite so horn friendly, so I bought a practice mute I think it was the first one I've ever owned. And that is a Trumcore Stealth something practice mute. Anyway, not to plug.
It's a very good
product, but I love it. Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, Trumcore practice mutes, guys.
I'm
trumpet players. Love it. But I very quickly discovered that I love practicing in the park. Yeah, you know, I'm not, you know, Sonny Rollins practicing on the bridge, whatever. He's Sonny Rollins. I mean, who would object to that? But I've never been the kind of musician that really enjoys forcing.
You're not gonna do a drum circle in Venice or anything.
What's that?
You're not gonna do a drum circle in Venice?
No. Well, I mean, part of the drum circle would be okay, I guess. But you know, just like
solo.
Making the neighbors listen to, I mean, like, I've always often thought, like, I wouldn't want to live next to a trumpet player.
It's true. I've lived next to people practicing guitar and hearing them do piano, hear scales.
Yeah. I was giving lessons briefly to this guy in Echo Park, and he just wasn't ever going to get it. So I don't know how much that had to do with it, but when I would come over and you know, I'd play along with him, and the neighbor, he had a bungalow too, but the bungalows were very, very close together, and the neighbor would scream at him, "Close your door!
I can't take it!"
And he would scream back, "Close your window!" And I didn't continue that teaching relationship for very long.
That's hard. You just completed. You just had a very successful birthday party here with a vast ensemble of like-minded musicians.
It was cool. It was I used my half century mark as an excuse to basically, I was forced to have a party, and
shame on you.
By dear friends who wouldn't let the occasion go by, and I used the occasion to get together a lot of musicians that have meant a lot to me over the last, some of them for the last three decades. Wow. Others I haven't known for quite as long, but people that have been very, very instrumental to me as a musician in LA and in the world. I don't know what I would have ever done without, you know, having these people around me, and they know who they are. But
you could elaborate on their names if you want.
There's too many of them.
Too many. Okay. Yeah. Well,
there's those who were there know. Yeah. Well, yeah.
and you played with all of them. Correct? Like in all the ensembles or most of the ensembles or?
Yeah, I did. I didn't plan it that way. And, you know, and I apologize profusely.
I don't think that's necessary.
I'll never play that much on one gig again.
I mean, the one I'm most familiar with is the Brain Children of Xenog. Could you speak a little bit towards that band?
Well, that's
I feel like it's one of your bands that's a band. Like
it is
a band.
It
has a band name. It has a mythology. It has a...
It's the most active band that I'm in. And it started out as a trio that actually never played out with Michael Alvidrezen, Brian Christofferson. And we eventually added Vince Maroney on woodwinds. I'd known Vince for a long time, and we'd done many different kinds of things together, but one thing that was sort of a common thread through all the things that we've done is that we have a really, really good rapport as a musical rapport, as far as like coming up with head arrangements and you know, coming up with quick melodies and harmonies on the spot, which is something that we had done playing like on rock sessions and other kinds of sessions together.
Right.
But it translated really well into this sort of, I guess you would call it jazz-based improvised music. scenario.
I feel like he's a crazy instrument, like a multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah. He's very adept at tenor, flute, alto, harmonica, drums.
He's just whipping it out. There's different moments.
Yeah, I don't know what else Vince plays. But he plays saxophone in this group, plays tenor and alto, plays flute also. That band is a high point of my life right now. It has been for the last 3 years. It's we always just have a really good time when we get together, and we do our best to, you know, turn in the best improvisations we possibly can.
I saw a show at LA Art Space, or whatever that one was downtown in the Arts District. It was amazing.
I like that space a lot.
Yeah, nice big brick room with wood everywhere.
Yeah, we've done a lot of shows under the auspices of Lee Beck. Mm. Apologies to Lee if I'm mispronouncing his last name. It's B-O-E-K. Oh. But
not Lee Bear.
Yeah, Big Bear. Yeah. Lee was instrumental in getting us some gigs at that space. Yeah, LA Archer. I like that place a lot. Okay. Yeah.
And then you have some upcoming, you're going to do a little far away tour, away show. Just a show?
No tour this time. I usually use my vacations from my day job to play as much music as I can in other places.
Right.
I play in Seattle sometimes with Tom Varner, the great jazz French horn player. He and I have become pretty good friends over the last few years. Sometimes I'll play with Rich Holly up in Portland. This past April, I went to Chicago for the first time after 30 years of wanting to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
I finally went. And I'm going back at the end of October and playing my first gig at Elastic Arts there with Nick Mazzarella, Clark Summers, and Jeremy Cunningham, alto saxophone, bass, and drums, respectively. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fun.
Do you go out to the East Coast at all in those areas? Or
I've been to the East Coast once. Some people who know me know that I have done some playing with the '60s band Love, and which was something I kind of fell into. I think
we hit on this with the Doors thing.
I think it was Joe Berardi that recommended me for that gig. I was not really familiar with the music when I got the call for that, and I almost turned it down just because I, you know, thought I was too busy, and then I decided to give it a chance, and then I started listening to the music, and I thought, wow, I'm really glad I didn't turn this down.
No.
I went to the East Coast with Love in October 2003. They put together a group called the Forever Changes Orchestra, which was put together specifically to perform that album
that
in its
album.
Entirety.
Yeah.
So we had five string players and two trumpet players.
Wow.
And we did a quick little East Coast tour. So my...
Is that documented in anything? Is that documented on a record or...
You know, it might be like on some addendum on this DVD thing that got released a while back.
That has to be a whole album. That's crazy. There has to be great recordings from those sets.
They've put things out,
right?
For that, but not with the stateside group. I think the British version.
Okay.
Those guys go to England a lot, and
right.
They also go to Europe. They have a lot of fans out there. They hang out with Robert Plant when they're there because he's a big Love fan. And everybody says that old Bob is just a great guy.
He makes listen to Honey Dripper songs. Touches hair.
But
that sounds cool and all, but
yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to hear it all. I want to hear all the different ensembles and like.
Yeah, it would be cool if there's some extant stuff out there. I don't know, but my time in New York. Was limited to exactly 24 hours. in October 2003. That is as much time as I've spent in New York and pretty much any other city on the East Coast. We went to Boston. I would not have known I was in Boston. We were just
In the venue, and then
it was snowing in October, and all I saw was the venue and a record store that was next to the venue, and then the hotel outside the city, and then we went to Philadelphia.
Saw a lot of airports.
Yeah. Saw the Newark, New Jersey airport. That was great.
That was a nightmare. That was literally the worst airport known to man.
Philadelphia was great. I think we got more time in Philadelphia than we did in any other of the cities, and I really liked Philly quite a bit.
Get a cheesesteak, get your car.
I got a really bad cheesesteak, but it didn't diminish my Philly experience.
Well,
I
feel like the addition of Cheese Whiz is a bad idea all the time. I just don't support that Philadelphia thing. Yeah. I go on record as saying that. I'm from D.C., so like, I feel like I can do that. I've been there enough. I don't think that's appropriate to add to any kind of sandwich, like a liquid cheese spread.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with love.
Right.
Or anything. Sorry. Thank you, Lucinda, for being my editor. Recording wise, do you have any more? Do you have any recording stuff coming up? Do you have any releases recently released? How has that been treating you? How do you find the recording environment?
My most recent recording was with a trio that I share with two New Mexico musicians, Mark Weaver on tuba and Dave Wayne on drums.
Albuquerque or
Dave Wayne lives in Santa Fe. Mark lives in Albuquerque. And the name of the trio is Do Tell, named after a Henry Threadgill tune. And we did a record of Julius Hemphill's compositions called Hot End, which was named after one of the compositions that we played on that. And we recorded that in Edgewood, New Mexico, about a half hour east of Albuquerque in December 14, and it was snowing, and it was cool. That's the most recent recording I've done. I've got all kinds of things that are floating around in my head, but no immediate
anything you want to let out,
recording,
you want to talk about
prospects.
You want to call anybody out and say, get on this recording? Like,
there's not really anything right now.
Fair.
Yeah. Just hanging out, working. Hey.
playing and working,
paying the bills,
eating salsa.
Yeah, I have plans to get together a certain quintet that has played before that I would like to record, but that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay, that's fair. Well, I would extend an invitation to Brain Children of Xenog to come up here if they ever want to. You might not all have to ride the train.
I think the BOX would be way into that.
Okay.
I think I might be able to get them all to ride the train, too. Who
okay.
knows? We might play on the train.
That would be right.
No, I would never do that. I was just thinking today about one time when I was on the train, and there was a group of people that were doing play reading on the train.
Ooh, that's dark. That might be a little
like,
too much.
It was like their train time recreation, the way they passed the time. You could tell that they were like, they would do this regularly. They would stand at the back of the train car and
shift that made the shield in.
Cub has something to say.
Cubs found a secret to Bastion, the computer game.
Anyway, yeah, they were reading plays.
Wow, they
the
read
back
a
of the
play
train car.
On
it was
train. That
was super annoying. Don't
I think,
ever do
I think
that.
If maybe somebody did a murder mystery thing,
it
that
was
would be pretty good.
It was something that'd like
be
that.
Really good.
It was like, something like that. Yeah, it was not too cool.
Well, I want to thank you for coming up. We can
thank you, Grant. This is great. I had a really good time.
We'll go hit a record store.
Yeah. Cub, we're gonna go to Voodoo Vinyl.
Dan about trumpet playing?
One question, Cub.
No.
Okay.
No questions.
I like
no that. Questions for Cub. He's a sealed
bottle,
sealed ship. Okay. Thank you. And
thank you.